outfits and garlands and mukhets are beyond expectation. We had thank very much to the ladies who made all these beautiful garlands and mukhets, and whoever donated this wonderful outfit this morning. So today is the holy appearance day of Sri Balaram, first expansion of Sri Krishna. So we have very beautiful Brijvasi bhajan about, well, it mentions Balaram. It's more about Krishna, actually, but because it mentions Balaram, we like to sing it for Baladev. And the refrain you'll learn in 2 seconds. Par karenge nayare bajo Krishna kaniya. Par karenge nayare bajo Krishna kaniya. Par means to cross over. So we're going to cross over this ocean of Kali Yuga by singing the name of Krishna Kaniya. So par means to cross over. It's like now Mathura has expanded to the other side of the river, so that's Jamuna par. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kaniya. Par karenge naiya re. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kaniya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kaniya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kaniya. Krishna kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Panjali Vajaya Panjali Vajaya. Makana Chuleya Giribaru Jaya Giribaru Jaya. Gaua Chaleya Gaya Chaleya Rasala Jaya Rasala Jaya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kaniya. Par karenge naiya re bajo Krishna kaniya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Krishna Kaniya Daurika Vaiya. Bansuri Bajaya. Bansuri Bajaya. Makana Chureya. Makana Chureya. Giribarudeya. Giribarudeya. Gaya Jaleya. Gaya Jaleya. Sasala Jaya. Sasala Jaya. Parkarenge. Naya Deva Krishna Gaya. Par karenge naya deva jo Krishna kariya. Krishna kariya, Daudi kabaiya. Krishna kariya, Krishna kariya. Krishna Kanaiya. Bolo Sri Daudi Maharaj Ki. Jai Nitali Lila Vishnu Mr. Pad, His Divine Grace, Sri A.C. Bhakti Vedan Swami, Sri Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Guri Vaishnavrinda Ki. Nama Acharya, Sri Haridas Thakur Ki. Prem Sri Kohosi, Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopi Go, Shamakun Radha Kun, Giri Govardhana Ki, Bolo Sri Baladev Appearance Day Ki, Bolo Sri Daoji Maharaj Ki, Ananda Guri Vaishnavinoda Ki. Gaur Premanande. Jai Sri Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militandena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Rati Svapadam Jigam Aradana Srinandan Taivridam Yache Puna Puna Srimar Rupa Padambujo Dulisyam Jamajanmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakalpa Drubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So we have very beautiful mantra glorifying Dauji. Shankha Kudindu Swedanga Baladev Ki Jai. Shankha, we know, means conch. Conch is always very white. Shankha Kunda. Just like now we have so many of these beautiful white jasmine flowers. But in the winter time, another tiny little white type of jasmine comes called kunda. With little pinkish highlights. So that's also white just like Dauji. Shankha Kunda. Indu. Indu is another name for the moon. Just like we know Chandra, Indra is another name for the moon. The moon is always very beautiful white. Swet Anga. Swet means white. Just like we know Sweta Dweep. Swet Anga. All his limbs are white. Swet Anga Baladev Prabhu. So today is the holy appearance day of Sri Baladev Prabhu. Sometimes we say Balaram Jayanti. But our Param Guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, has written an article, the Jayanti refers to that astrological configuration at the time of Krishna's birth. Moon was in the eighth day of the dark half of the month of Bhadra, and all the stars were in certain positions. So Jayanti refers to that particular thing. So Jayanti is only reserved for Krishna. But now we use it for everybody. Gandhi Jayanti, Nehru Jayanti, everybody's got a Jayanti. But actually we can't even say Nrisimha Jayanti. Jayanti is only reserved for Krishna. This is Balaram Purnima. And we'll see in Braj that mostly everybody's following that Dauji was born on the sixth day of the bright half of the month of Bhadra, just 2 days before Radhastami. This is according to Garga Samhita. So why are we Gaudiya Vaishnav celebrating on the Purnima? Jiva Goswami has written one book called Gopal Champu. And there he gives so many different evidences. First of all, he says Baladev's birth was under Shravan Nakshatra. Shravan is a specific constellation, nakshatra we call it. That, and today being Purnima, this moon is in the Shravan Nakshatra. So it can only be on this Purnima that moon is in Shravan Nakshatra. This whole month, the first month of rainy season, it's called Shravan. Otherwise we call it, what's Sridhar, I think, in our Vaishnava calendar. And if Baladev was born just 2 days before Radhastami, that means after Jamastami, then it would be that Krishna was born take another year before Krishna, almost a year before Krishna appears. But then Jiva Goswami points out that in Srimad Bhagavatam describes that they both began crawling together. They both began walking together. They both took their first grains together. They had their name-giving ceremony together. So if they were actually 1 year, almost 1 year apart, then it wouldn't make any sense how they took their first step together. Baladev was just lying around for 1 year before waiting for Kaneya to take a step. And their name-giving ceremony was together. Everything was together. So actually, so Jiva Goswami has proven that Balaram appeared on this Shravan Purnima. And generally, just like generally everybody thinks that Krishna appeared in Mathura, but that was forearmed while Vasudev Krishna. Jiva Goswami, especially in Gopal Champu, he describes how Krishna appears in Gokul simultaneously with that Vasudev Krishna. That's a long story. We'll save that for Jamastami. And Baladev in Mathura, before Vasudev sent Rohini to Braj, this Mahasankarshan was in her womb. And then we find in Srimad Bhagavatam that she was sent to sent to Gokul because of the terrorism of Kamsa. And then Krishna, he called Yogamaya. And he says, "Hey Badre, O auspicious one." He wants to give her some encouragement. "Hey Badre." Because he's going to ask her a very heavy task. She has to carry that person, we know in his form as Anantashesh, all the universes are balancing on his head. So that person she has to carry from Rohini's womb to Devaki's womb. So he wants to encourage her, because Krishna always gives the, along with the order, the mercy to be able to carry out that order. Whenever a spiritual master also gives some order, he gives also the mercy to be able to carry out that order. So then he tells Yogmaya that you carry this embryo from Rohini's room to Devaki's room. And he says, because he will be transferred, he will be pulled from one womb to another, so he'll be known as Sankarshan. Sankarshan means to pull. It's like we know Krishna comes Akarshan, attraction. So he was attracted, Sankarshan. And because he'll be very strong, he'll be known as Balabhadra. And he will give great pleasure to all his family members, he will be known as Ram. So one year, we were very fortunate, Radha Govinda Swami Maharaj, His Holiness, he gave English class for us on Janmashtami. And he explained that one Vaishnava has written in his book why Krishna gave all the names to Baladev. Because he explains that somebody may get some doubt in his mind. That we know that Krishna is two Bhagavans. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Baladev, he's appearing as the older brother. So if he's appearing as the older brother, then maybe he's the Supreme. So just to relieve any doubts, Krishna gives all the names. Because we see that whenever a child is named, it's always some senior person. The grandfather, grandmother, uncle, auntie, at least the father and mother, they give the name. They're in senior position. Some senior person. So just so nobody gets any doubt, Krishna, before Balaram's appearance, he gives all the names. So that we know he's this, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Excuse me, I got it backwards. He was transferred from Devaki's womb to Rohini's womb in Gokul. Since COVID, some of my brain is funny. And everybody understood that Devaki had a miscarriage. And then, on this Purnima day, Rohini gave birth to a very beautiful white baby boy. But in Gopal Champu, Jiva Goswami describes, he was totally inert. Just like we know, Jad Bharat, he was completely dull. So he was very dull like that. Jiva Goswami is Jarbastu. Just like Jad Bharat, Jarbastu. But whenever Rohini would come to Yasoda, because Yasoda already had Krishna within her womb, then all of a sudden he'd become very lively. And as soon as he would leave her lap, So we know 8 days later, because Krishna and Balaram, they're almost like twins. Because 8 days later, on the Ashtami, Krishnastami day, because now we're starting, tomorrow we start the month of Bhadra. So on the eighth day, then Krishna appeared. Then Baladev became very active. Till that time he was very dull. Because they're almost like twins, only 1 week difference. There, if you go to Nandagam, you will see that they're dressed almost exactly the same. In fact, you won't be able to tell who's Krishna and who's Kaniya. They have same outfit, same mukut, same jewelry, same flute, everything same to same. But if you ask the pujaris, they will tell you that Balaram, he has too much attraction to Nanda Baba. So he's on Baba's side. Because you see Nanda Baba and Yasoda are there in Nandagam. And Kaniya, he has too much attraction to Yasoda. So he's on Yasoda's side. And otherwise you can't tell. They're both same to same. Because generally we see, even in the material world, I'll bet even in your wherever country or part of India that you came from, when people have twins, they dress them exactly the same, is it? They dress them exactly the same. So you'll see when you go to Nandagam, Krishna and Balaram dressed almost exactly the same. And we've heard how Baladevi has two weapons. What is a plow? Just like today we see very nicely. He's got his beautiful silver plow. Because he does farming. What type of farming? Farming of the living entities. Just like I see, sometimes I would stay at Brindakun and then I would see during the summer, it's very dry and all the ground turns very hard like a rock. So at the end of the summer, just before the rains come, they have to make that dirt very soft in order for the crops to grow. So they come, nowadays they come with a big tractor. Before they used to use a plow. But anyway, they come with their big tractor. The farmer himself, he comes with a big tractor and he plows up all the ground and makes it very soft so when the seed will come and the rains will come, then immediately it will sprout. And now that it's, especially now that it's rainy season, especially in that area, they like to plant rice. So we see that the farmer himself, he comes, he makes the ground fertile and soft with his big tractor or with his bulls. And then to plant the rice, he just hires some people. Actually, people come from Rajasthan to do the rice planting. And I was curious, because Rajasthan is a very dry place. They don't grow rice in Rajasthan. So why these people come to plant the rice? He said, Baba, this teaches you everything. They have to live somehow or another, so they come. So the hard part is making the ground ready for the seeds. That is the hard part. So that is done. The farmer does that himself with his bull or his plow, his tractor. So same way our hearts, they're very hard and dry. Very hard and dry. So Baladev with his plow, he plows up that heart for us. So that when the seed of bhakti comes, it will grow very easily. So we see that Srila Prabhupada, he was the full manifestation of Baladev. His spiritual master is a representative of Baladev. And he plowed up the whole earth. The whole earth was very dry and hard. Everybody was engaged in sinful activities and nobody was caring for hearing Krishna Katha or following Krishna's orders in Bhagavad Gita that you surrender to me. And Prabhupada went and he plowed up the whole world. And we're just like the little hired laborers. We think we're very big preachers. But Prabhupada did the real work. We're just the little hired laborers from Rajasthan who come and doing the work afterwards. Prabhupada did the real work. And his other weapon, we say plow. We say club because English is not very good for transcendental technology. It's good for other technology, for Blu-ray and DVD and whatever the latest thing is. But actually, you'll see sometimes he has a muscle. We don't have a word in English for muscle. He knows that Hanuman-type club. He knows how to use that. He taught Duryodhan. But his actual weapon, especially you'll see in Braj, you always see Dauji with his muscle. Like sometimes you'll see. It looks like a somewhat like a pregnant baseball bat with a little place here that's thin so you can hold like that and a little place up here like that. Sometimes we have nice gold-plated one that sometimes we get to see. Today he's got his plow. So that mussel, there's a place in the ground like this, because when the rice comes, it's got this husk on it. That is useless. Just like sometimes when another season they're growing wheat, and sometimes they like to get the wheat and just chew the fresh wheat. It's so nice. So one time in Braj Prikama, we were going with Lokanath Swami in Braj Prikama, and we passed through the rice fields. About that time, Kartik, they're ready, all the rice is. You see all the rice hanging down and bowing down to Krishna and Balaram. Everywhere you go, it's just bowing down. So I plucked off a few grains and tried to eat, but oh my goodness. This husk is very horrible. It gets stuck in your throat, and it's got these things, so it only goes one way. It wants to go down, and you're trying to get it out. So we have to get that husk off too, because we want to get the grain of the essence, the sar, the real thing. So that husk, that is useless. Useless means anart. Useless means anart. Just like we know Krishna says in Bhagavad, arta arti, those who want some wealth. Art is a very useful thing. Money. But anart, useless. So that husk, that is useless. So that is Guru's business. He has to get all of our anarts out of our heart. So Dawji, he's got that muscle to smash all of these useless things sitting within our heart and preventing us from fully surrendering at the lotus feet of Krishna. So these are the two weapons of Dawji, the plow and the muscle. Sometimes in Braj you'll see with very, very colorful muscles also. We have a golden one, but sometimes very colorful ones. So, one of my favorite pastimes is a forest, a little far from here. Actually, it's not so far if you go by walking, but if you go by car, you have to go way around. If you go by car, you go to Madhavan, then from Madhavan, you follow the road. Sometimes we used to just, instead of taking the, we'd let the buses go their way, and we'd just walk to Talavan. And such a nice walk. It's one of the last places still you can get nice dust of Braj to walk on. And very beautiful. All the rice fields are there. All the rice is bowing down. And somewhere along the way, there's this huge banyan tree in the middle of the fields with very thick foliage. And we're coming down the road with our doing our kirtan. And we can hear the echo coming off of that tree. There's an echo coming off of that tree. And you can hear the kartals and mridanga coming back, a little echo coming. It's not a long echo, but you can hear the difference. You can hear the ching, ching, ching coming back. Beautiful, huge banyan tree is there. So then you come to Talavan. Now, living in Braj for so long, I've noticed that in the summertime, the wind is coming from the west. We call the loo. You don't want to be outside in the loo. It's just dry wind, just dries everything up. I know one devotee, he was going to Mathura station. And this is old, old days before. Now there's all these e-rickshaws and putt-putts and so forth. There was just pedal rickshaws. And the wind, the loo started blowing. He became so dehydrated, he fainted. Luckily that rickshawwala was honest fellow, because it was these old days. So he dragged into some brishpati. He finally woke up. They were putting wet towels on his face and they were fanning him. Somehow they revived him. Very dangerous, this western wind. But as soon as rainy season comes, we see all the black clouds are coming from the eastern side. And the wind is blowing from the eastern side. So it's described how Krishna and Balaram and all the cowherd boys, they were going along and they smelled the nice, sweet fragrance of the tal fruits. So I speculated they must have been on the eastern side. They must have been on the western side because the wind is coming from the east. So they must have been on the western side of Taliban. This was my speculation. Now somebody has translated the Sar Arkana Darshika Tipi, something like that. This Bismillah Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And there, Bismillah Chakravarti Thakur says that it was rainy season because tall fruits, they come in the rainy season. There's only about two or three tall fruits left, tall trees left at, it used to be Taliban, a whole forest. But you can go now, the rainy season, they start to come. They look like little barrel-shaped eggplants. They're very dark, like an eggplant. And then gradually they turn bright orange with little purple streaks this time of year. One time we came to Taliban just after the rainy season had just finished. And I looked up in the tall tree and there was still a couple of fruits left. So the pujari immediately called some of his disciples. He said, immediately went up there, brought down those tall fruits. They squeezed them out and made juice, and they gave everybody tall fruit juice. So everybody was pouring out their bishlahari, their waves of poison, bishlahari. And filling their bottles with fresh tall juice, and we were all drinking tall juice. So rainy season, the tall fruits start to come, and there's so many of them, all like big barrel-shaped eggplants, and then they gradually turn very bright orange and very sweet, almost like mangoes, but very stringy. That's why he squeezed them out and strained them and made them into juice. That's the best way. So Bismillah Thakurvati says it must have been rainy season because the tall fruits come in the rainy season, and the wind was blowing from the east, so the Kahur boys were coming from Govardhan, which is on the western side of Taliban. So my speculation was right. And they smell the sweet odor of the tal fruits. And they told Krishna, "Oh, Kanhaiya, we're very hungry. And the sweet smell of tal fruits is coming from Taliban. But nobody ever goes there. Because there's a big demon in the shape of an ass, Denukasura. He's protecting those fruits. Now there's an interesting history behind Denukasura. He was a descendant of, in the line of Prahlad Maharaj. And his name was Sahasik. He was sitting before this guru with his feet sticking out. Do we point our feet to our guru or any senior person? We never do that. So he was sitting like that. His guru became angry. You're just like an ass. So you should become an ass. Then he begged forgiveness. He said, yes, and when Balaram comes, he will liberate you from this curse. So actually his curse was a blessing. Because Krishna, one of the Nrisimhadev, one of the benedictions that he gave Prahlad, that he would not kill anybody in his line. So Krishna can't kill him. So Krishna winked at Balaram, it's your turn. Because Denukasura is ass. Ass represents ignorance, foolishness, materialistic way of life. Just like we see, we live here in Braj, and we hear all these things from Prabhupada's books, but you come to Braj, you can see them. You see the ass carrying the big loads of bricks and sand on his back, or carrying the laundry, big bags of laundry to the Jamuna. He's carrying all these big heavy loads. He's not even doing it for himself. He's doing it for someone else. And he's thinking, because at the end, then his owner gives him a little bit of grass. So he's thinking, if I don't work hard like this, how am I going to eat grass? All the paths that he's walking on both sides of the road, there's grass. But he's thinking that if I don't work very hard, how will I eat grass? I have to work hard to enjoy. This is the motto of America. Work hard, enjoy hard. He says, unless I work hard, how will I enjoy? Just like some thieves. One time, there were some merchants going through the forest, and the dacoits came, and they surrounded us. They immediately put their hands up. They'll take everything, you spare our lives. So they robbed the merchants, and then they just beat them up like anything. I said, Ale, we gave you everything. Why are you beating us? Without doing some work, how are we going to eat? In fact, the ass, he's known as Baisak Nandan. Baisak, that's around the month of April, May. And we know that means it's very, very hot. Everybody's suffering, except for the ass. He becomes very happy. So he's called Baisak Nandan. Because it's very dry, there's not very much grass around. He eats some grass here, he walks a little ways, eats some more grass, he walks a little ways, eats some more grass. Then eventually he looks back and he says, wow, I walked so far. I must have eaten so much grass. And he becomes happy. And we see happy people like our Sarvabhaum. They become very fatty. So in the summer, everybody else is suffering. The ass becomes very fatty. He's very happy. And then rainy season comes, grass is everywhere. He's eating and eating and eating, doesn't move anywhere. And he looks back and he says, wow, I didn't move anywhere today. I didn't eat any grass. And he gets worried. And we see worried people, they become very skinny. He becomes very sickly in the rainy season. So it is the guru's business to free us from this foolish ass-like materialistic mentality. So this is Baladev's duty. So Krishna, he winked at Baladev. So Baladev went in the forest and he grabbed one tall tree and he began to shake it like this. Now there's I've seen tall trees. They get quite tall. The ones that are there at that now existing in Taliban, they're very tall. I can't even move them a micromillimeter. But there was a big, tall one, and Baladev just shook it like this. And all the tall fruits began to fall down. Thud, 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 thud. So, Denukasura, we know donkeys, they have big, long ears. So he heard all these tall fruits are falling. Because Denukasura, he was conquered by Kamsa, so he and all his ass followers, they were subservient to Kamsa. So they used to manage this tall forest. And they would protect it from anyone. They never let any Vaishnav, any devotee, anyone ever taste these tall fruits. They would collect them and send them to Kamsa, and whatever was left over, they would take. But they never let any Vaishnava or anybody take these tall fruits. So he was, with all his followers, he was guarding the forest. So with his big ears, he heard all the thud, 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 somebody's in my forest. So he came running. And first thing he did, he saw Baladev, then he turned his back on him. Did we turn our back on the spiritual master or some senior person we never liked it, or the deity? We never turn our back on deity or the spiritual master. He turned his back. Then he began to kick on Baladev's chest. But Baladev's chest is hard like a thunderbolt. He felt it just like somebody's throwing a garland on his chest. So he just grabbed the hind legs of this ass, this Dhenukasura, and he swung him around and around and around and around. And then he threw him into the top of a big, tall tree. And that tall tree fell over and hit another one. And that one hit another one, just like dominoes. Bam, 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 bam. All through the forest. It was a big disaster. So then all the ass demons, they saw this going on. And so immediately they came charging. Now this Dhenukasura, who was, since he was descendant of Prahlad Maharaj, Krishna couldn't touch him. But now now he's finished. So now Krishna gets into the act. And Krishna and Balaram, they began to throw all the asses into the tops of the tall trees. And some, you know, seen asses, sometimes they're grayish, sometimes they're whitish, sometimes they're dark, sometimes lighter. So it looked like different colored clouds were in the tops of the trees. So they killed off all of Dhenukasura's followers. Of course, now it's sort of a big bloody mess. So it's described that the cowherd boys, they didn't take the tall fruits those days. But now we know it's rainy season. So the rain came, washed away all the mess. And then all the cowherd boys and Krishna used to come and enjoy those fruits and used to share them with all the other Brishvasis. And comes to realize that he's not getting his tall fruits anymore. Comes to realize he's not getting his tall fruits anymore. Then he heard that Krishna and Balaram had finished off all the Dhenukasura and all the ass demons. He became more frightened. How to get rid of this fellow? Because he'd already sent so many demons. And still he couldn't get Krishna killed. So this is the guru's business, to free us from this foolish, ass-like, materialistic mentality full of ignorance. So we're very fortunate here. We're living in this beautiful Krishna Balaram Mandir. And just after Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada one day remarked, "Now everything is all right. Balaram is here." And he said, "If you have any problem, you just come. My dear sir, this is my problem. You please help me. Whatever problem you have, you come to Balaram. My dear sir, please help me. This is my problem." And one day on the... Because Prabhupada used to walk on this Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg. Those days it was just 1.5 lanes and hardly any cars were there. If we saw 2 cars in one day, then that was traffic. And there's only 2 types of cars that we saw. The one was this Ambassador, now they don't even make them anymore. And the other car was this little Padmini Fiat. That was the only 2 types of cars, and if we saw 2 of them in one day, that was traffic. Now you'll see, it's Purnima today, you'll see what a big traffic jam is. Now they don't, the police try to stop all the cars from even coming in. So it used to be a very peaceful walk, just walking up, and there was none of these big buildings, it was just fields and fields. And Prabhupada would walk. So Prabhupada asked us, who's stronger, Krishna or Balaram? So everyone began to give their different opinions. The Balaram, he's bal. Bal means strength. Balaram is, so he's stronger. No, Krishna's stronger. They went back and forth and back and forth. So then Prabhupada smiled. He said, "You see, in the temple, Balaram, he's leaning on Krishna. Balaram, he's leaning on Krishna. So Krishna is holding him up. He's stronger. So we're very, very fortunate to be sitting here at the wonderful lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, on this wonderful day of Balaram Purnima, Balaram's appearance day. And we'll have a nice drama this evening at 6:30 in Balaram Hall. I'm not sure what the drama is all about, but a nice drama will be there. You're all welcome to come. Anyway, after we hear from relish the nectarine words of His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj, then we'll have wonderful Abhishek. And I always see at Abhishek time, everybody likes to bring lots of honey. With Balaram, he likes honey too much. In fact, I was reading yesterday, I have an old book. It was published about 100 years ago, all about Lord Chaitanya. So it was talking about how Lord Chaitanya, he was remembering, he told all the devotees that Nityananda has come, and you have to find him. As soon as he started talking about Nityananda, he became absorbed, because he told that he's actually the incarnation of Balaram. As soon as he remembered Balaram, he became filled with the mood of Balaram. He said, "Bring me liquor, bring me liquor." And all the devotees, "What in the world is Mahaprabhu telling now?" But Dauji, he doesn't take ordinary liquor, that liquor of Krishna Prem. And especially he likes madhu, honey. Because you know, honey is very sweet. And you get a little funny, just like I remember in the old days. We didn't know so many things, so we'd make a big feast on Sundays and we'd serve out all the guests, and there'd be so much left over. Whatever the guests left, we didn't know so much that you're not supposed to, that's contaminated, don't take it. But anyway, whatever was left over, we used to eat, and especially with lots of sweet rice and halava. And we'd take so much sweet rice and halava after the Sunday feast, we would all be rolling on the floor laughing. Because so much sweet makes you honey. So this is Balaram's. If you go to out to Dauji Temple, and many other Dauji temples, they'll tell you he likes something else. But we have it on authority of our acharyas that he likes this honey, madhu. So we'll see during Artik, everybody's during the Abhishek, everyone bringing lots of madhu to bathe Balaram with honey. So this is some incredible mercy of Srila Prabhupada that we're all sitting here at Lord Balaram's lotus feet on this wonderful day. So I'll bring my...
Varuni is his wife also? Or?
Yeah, Varuni is also the name of his wife. That's also the name of the honey preparation. That was Revati. Because there's one king in Gujarat named Revat. So he had a beautiful daughter. It was Revati. And he was very, very attached to his daughter. Because the father is very attached to the daughter. I have one, so I know. And he wasn't satisfied. He interviewed so many people about marrying his daughter, but he wasn't satisfied with anyone. So finally he decided to go take up the matter with Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma knows everybody in the whole universe. He's the engineer. So you know that as soon as you go to your GBC or your temple president's office, big sign, meeting going on, do not disturb. So Lord Brahma, he was in a meeting with all the demigods. So Revat and Revati, they sat outside in the waiting room. And we know meetings just go on and on and on. We have a great sage in America named Murphy. And Murphy says, A meeting is an event where minutes are kept and hours are lost. Now, Brahma, he's on a different time scale. We know in the Brahma Vimohali, he went for a flash and he came back and a whole year of our time had passed. So now meeting is going on. So how, but on the earth, millions of years went. Yugas went. When finally he got in to see Lord Brahma, he explained to him about, he interviewed this one, he interviewed that one, and Lord Brahma began to laugh. He says, "It's not funny, I have to marry this daughter." He said, no, everyone you're talking about, they've died, their children have died, their children have died, nobody even remembers their name anymore. But not to worry, when you get back to the earth, by that time, Dwapar Yuga will be at his end. In Dwarka, there's a very handsome fellow named Balaram. He's the perfect match for your daughter. So, Revat, he came back along with Revati. They went to Dwarka. And he presented his daughter to Balaram. Now, they were from Satyu, so they were quite tall. Now, in India, we always try to make sure that the husband and wife, they're nicely matched. You know, same gotra and same, or not gotra, but anyway, same, everything is same. You know, same color and same society and everything same. Just like one time, my pujari Brindakun, he got a big shock. Because my dear friend came from London named Krishna Chaitanya. And Krishna Chaitanya, he's so black, he makes the nighttime look like daytime. And his wife, Jamuna, she's so white, she makes snow look like coal. And my pujari said, they're husband and wife? He was completely shocked. And nobody, in India, they would never make a match like that. So Balaram, he looked at this big, tall girl. So then he took his plow, pew, put it on her shoulder and brought her down to the side. Then he married her. But that's not Brajlila, that's actually Dwarka Lila. Although you see, we go to Talavan, you see Revati is there, but she's not actually part of Brajlila. Anyway, we'll put our voice to rest here. And now we'll all relish the nectarine words of His Holiness Lokanath Swami Maharaj. Balo Sri Daoji Maharaj Ki Jai.